So I want to start this morning just with the story of a farmer and two sons. And yeah, Amber, you can just put that first slide up for me there. Thanks. So this farmer had two sons, and he had a field. And I saw it was a vineyard. So he had a vineyard farming with various things there. And he went to his first son and he said to the son, "Son, go and work in my field." And the son said, "Oh, Dad, you know, I don't feel like it. I'm busy with something. Can't my brother go and do it, you know?" And but afterward, he walked away and he thought, "Sure, you know, my dad, he's a good dad and he does so much for me. Let me obey him and let me go and work in his field." And then the farmer went to the second son and he said, "Son, go work in my field." And the son said, "Yeah, sure, I'll do it, I'll go." But he never went to work in the field. And I don't know if he was busy playing Xbox or watching movies or doing something. Sound familiar? Any parents around you? Know the feeling, know the pain. but this is a story that Jesus tells the chief priest and the elders of the Jews. And we see the story in the book of Matthew, chapter 21. So you go to the next one. So here's the story, and we see that Jesus is telling this story to the chief priests and the elders, and he says, "What do you think? A man had two sons, and he went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' And he answered, 'I will not.' But afterward, he changed his mind and went. And he went to the other son and he said the same. And he answered, 'I go, sir,' but he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father?" They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, the tax collectors and prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him, and even when you saw it, you did not afterward change your minds and believe." And so Jesus uses this simple story of the two sons to illustrate a very important point here to the chief priests and elders. And he illustrates that because they were not able or were not willing to change their minds, it had an eternal consequence for them, actually. And so what did the first son do that the second son did not? The first son repented. He changed his mind. And the second son wasn't willing to do so. So this morning, I want to speak to us about the gift of repentance. The gift of repentance. And I want to ask you, what comes to mind when you think about the word repentance? It's quite a heavy word, isn't it? It's like repentance. It's like thunderbolt repentance. You know, it's a heavy word, repentance. But what I hope us to see today is that repentance is a gift from God. It's a gift. And that it would be something that when we think about repentance, it's actually something that we treasure, that we value, and something that we apply in our lives as followers of Christ. But more than just knowing about it or cherishing it, that it's something that is evident in our lives and actually changes the way that we live. So what is repentance? So the Greek or Hebrew word for it is metanoia, and then repent is metaneo. And it almost sounds like metanoeo, you know, metanoeo. So look at yourself in the mirror and when you want to do something bad or, you know, look at yourself and say, "No way, oh, meta, no way, oh." So, but it means to change one's mind and purpose, to have regret, feel or express sincere regret or remorse about one's wrongdoing or sin. It's a decision that results in change of mind, which in turn leads to a change of purpose and action. And I think that last sentence there is quite important, that it's not just a feeling of remorse, but that it actually causes a decision that results in change of mind, which in turn leads to change of purpose and action. So when we talk about repentance in a biblical sense, it's more than a feeling of saying I'm sorry or feeling sorry about something. It's changing our, or even changing our minds. It's something that changes our mind and our heart and leads us somewhere. It leads us closer to God. It moves us in a different direction, in God's direction. And it leads us to a different path or a different way, God's way. It's something that leads us to change what we do, say, think, and act, and causes us to live differently. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26, and we're going to read there from verse 15. Now, just the setting of the story that we're going to read, it's Saul who became Paul, but before he became Paul, he was on his way to Damascus, and his mission was to persecute the Christians and to arrest them and to throw them into prison. So he's on his way there with a group of people, and on his way there, he has an encounter with Jesus. And there's a bright light that shines around them, and they fall to their faces in fear, actually. And the Lord Jesus speaks to Paul, and he says to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And this is his response. So we can read there from verse 15. You're welcome to follow in your Bible or look at the slide. And Paul said, Saul at that stage, "Who are you, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and witness to the things in which you have seen me and to those in which I will appear to you, delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles, to whom I am sending you." Now, he's got a mission for Paul, and this is it. "I'm sending you to the Jews and to the Gentiles." For what purpose? "To open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me." This is Paul's mission. Is he's going to preach the gospel so that the eyes of people will be opened, turning them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. The forgiveness of sins, and I love this, and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in Jesus Christ. And I was just thinking about this, and it really, my heart became so tender, just thinking that there's a place for you and me. Because of what Jesus did, because he paid the price on the cross for us, because he made the way, we can be sanctified, we can be washed, we can be cleansed, and we can receive an inheritance, a place among those who are sanctified by faith in him. You know, all of us are actually looking for belonging. You want to feel that you belong. And I want to say to you this morning that the good news is there's a place for you and for me. There's a place for you and for me. He made it possible. Jesus made it possible through his death on the cross and his resurrection. You see, this is why repentance is a gift. It's because repentance leads us to that place where we can say, Lord, I need you. Lord, forgive me. Lord, I choose to follow you. Repentance enables that. It puts us on his path. It puts us in his will and in his way. So three important aspects that I just want to share this morning about repentance. And the first one is, it starts with the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. You see, for us to understand the gift, we need to look to the giver of the gift. The Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, Proverbs 1 verse 7. And I would say that the beginning of repentance starts with the fear of the Lord. The beginning of repentance starts with the fear of the Lord. We need to understand who the Lord is, that he is holy, that he is almighty, the one who is worthy of all that we have, the one who created all things, and to whom we will give an account one day. You see that the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:10 that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Sorry, this mic is breaking up a little. Can you get, sounds okay. So we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive what we have done in the body, whether good or evil. And that counts for each one of us, is there will be a day that you and I need to appear before him, and we need to give an account for our lives. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, to be feared above all gods. Think about it. The angels and the living creatures around his throne continually cry out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. When John, in the book of Revelation, saw the risen Christ, he fell flat down on his face as if one dead. And one day our King will return, not as the Lamb. We sang about the Lion and the Lamb. He is the Lamb that was slain. But one day he returns as the Lion, as the risen King, the one who rules and reigns, the one who comes to judge the earth. And every single one, great and small, will have to give an account to him for the lives they have lived here on the earth. Paul writes, and he says, knowing this, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. The terror of the Lord. You know, Paul understood this, that one day we will need to appear before the Lord Jesus and give an account for our lives. Knowing this, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. And he also writes that we make it our aim to be pleasing unto him. It starts with the fear of the Lord. I want to ask us this morning, church, you know, do we have a fear of the Lord? It's something I need to ask myself to say, Barry, do you fear the Lord? You know, if I fear the Lord, it will reflect in my life, how I live my life, because I know that I'm not my own. I don't just belong to me. I belong to him. And one day I'll have to give an account to him for my life. The fear of the Lord. We can go to the second point there. The next one is humility and action. Humility and action. You see, it starts with the fear of the Lord, but then we need to be able to humble ourselves before him and say, Jesus, I need you. When we realize that we're not living as the Lord would want us to, we're not pleasing him in our thoughts, our actions, our words, in how we live our lives, we might realize it through the conviction of the Holy Spirit, through somebody speaking to us, a leader, a brother and sister in Christ, through the word. But when that conviction comes, we need to be able to humble ourselves before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I've missed it. Jesus said that unless we become like children, we will not be able to enter the kingdom of heaven. What does it mean? It means that we are able to humble ourselves as a child. Humble ourselves and believe and put our faith in Jesus Christ. It's humility, and it doesn't stop there, but it goes into action. You see, it's not enough for us just to say, Lord, I'm sorry, please forgive me, but it also has to result in the way that we live and speak and do. You see, if you look at the example of the two sons, the first son, when after he repented, it says that he actually went and he worked in his father's field. He went and he did something. And sometimes it's going to cost you work. It's going to cost me work. You know, it's just one example I thought of. There are other examples as well. But I remember when, you know, I was a young believer, and after that, the Lord convicted me to stop smoking. I had to make the decision to say, okay, I understand, you know, the Holy Spirit has brought a conviction. I need to stop this. And then I had to put in some work. I need to actually throw away my cigarettes. When somebody offered me a smoke, I had to say no. I had to do something because there was a conviction. I asked the Lord's forgiveness, but it had to lead me to action. I had to do something. You see, and that is what repentance is. Repentance is more than just saying, Lord, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I've missed it. And I think for us as believers, sometimes we become so used to just saying, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I'm sorry. It's almost like the son just saying, yes, I'll do it. Yes, I'll do it. Yes, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. But I never put it into action. I never do something. Is it making sense, guys? Humility and action. I have to humble myself before the Lord. And then it has to lead me to do something. And the next one, refreshing and reward. The benefits of repentance are out of this world. Once we've repented, we can enjoy times of refreshing that comes from the presence of the Lord. How wonderful is that? And I'm sure that all of us have experienced that. After I've repented, I've turned away. You know, the joy, the love, the peace that fills my heart because of the presence of God. You know, it's worth it. That times of refreshing, Acts 3:19-20. It's something the Lord calls us to. And he calls all people to turn back that our sins may be blotted out and that times of refreshing may come from the Lord's presence. We are able to enjoy close fellowship with the Lord. We are able to grow, to be used in the kingdom here on earth. And again, he has prepared a place for us among those who are sanctified by faith. And he invites us to walk in his way, to follow his will, so that one day when we stand before him, we can hear those words that we all want to hear. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Come into the joy of your Lord. I want to hear those words. I want to hear those words one day to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Come into the joy of your Lord. Times of refreshing and reward.